In this module, we're going to cover storing and querying XML. Graham, can you tell us more about what we're going to cover?
Sure. So we've a number of topics to cover in this. We've got this notion of storing XML in a database using the XML data type. So we'll talk about the native XML data type in SQL Server and Azure SQL Database, which supports storing XML. We'll talk a little bit about XQuery, which is the standard language used for querying XML. And that gets a little interesting because we're combining that with Transact SQL, which of course is the language for querying tables. And we'll talk about how we use XQuery to query that XML data type. And we'll talk about how to modify XML data in the XML data type. So there's a number of aspects to this that we're going to look at.
So let's dig in and talk about some of the characteristics of the XML data type.
So yeah, there's a number of things we need to be aware of with the XML data type. It's a native data type for storing XML. So it's a first level member of the data type hierarchy in SQL Server or in Azure SQL Database, just like in Varchar or Int or Float or any of these other data types, except that it's used to store XML.
So hang on a second. So Varchar also stores string data. And XML is really just a collection of characters. So why is there a unique type for XML?
And that's a really good point. The thing about XML is, as we look at XML, the way that the applications look at XML is they treat it as a tree structure, as a hierarchy. So whereas you're absolutely right, we could store XML just as an invarchar value in a column. By storing it using a native XML type, we get a more efficient storage. So it stores it as this XML tree structure rather than that as pure text, which actually saves us a little bit of space, which is, as database developers always interest us, takes less space to store it. But it also provides us with a more efficient way of reading that XML into an XML reader sort of tree structure and then querying the XML within it. So it's more about the efficiency of being able to store and query it by making it native to that tree-like structure. So it will allow us to store both XML documents, as in those XML values that have a single root element, but also XML fragments. It's kind of recognized in a database that you might just want to store some arbitrary XML that isn't a fully well-formed document. It just has some XML elements. And we can use it just like any other data type for columns in tables or for variables or for parameters that we're passing to store procedures. So it's a fairly versatile way of taking XML and including it in the database as a kind of first level member of the data type hierarchy. As I said, it stores it in an internal form. So what it doesn't do is just store the literal text of the XML document. It's actually parsed into this tree, and then that tree is stored. It's a binary internal form of the tree that's stored. And then what we get when we query it, when we retrieve the data out of a table or a variable, is semantically equivalent XML. So it might not necessarily be the exact same XML that we stored in the first place. So we might lose comments, or attributes might be in different orders, or things that are out with our control. When we store the XML, what we get back is the semantic equivalent of XML, rather than the same literal string document that was there in the first place.
So let's take a look at how we start to use XML as a data type in SQL Server.
So here we are in SQL Server Management Studio. And you can see I've got a query window open here. And I'm starting off with a variable just to kind of show how this works. I've got a variable called X, and it's of type XML. So I'm using the XML data type. And then I'm just assigning a value to it, just the same as I would any other variable. Using the set statement here, but the value I'm assigning is literally it's a string here with some XML values there. And you can see I've got namespaces and things in here as well, so it's a reasonably verbose XML document. And then I'm just selecting that variable just to verify that that is in fact what goes in there. So let's run that code and take a look. And the result comes back, and you can see it's displayed in the grid just like any other result might be, but you'll notice it's a hyperlink, and the SQL Server Management Studio environment supports this XML editor window. So I can click on that and bring it up into this nice, semantically clear environment here. And I can see that I've got my XML document, and it's brought back the equivalent of that document. It's brought back the document I stored. It wasn't stored like this as literal text in the variable. It was converted internally into that binary tree, not binary tree, XML tree format, and then retrieved back out as XML. So that's using it as a variable. I can also use it in a table. So I'm creating a table here called sales order, just a temporary table, which is mixing and matching XML and relational data. So we've got an order ID, we've got an order date, but then I'm choosing to store the items as XML fragments. So I go ahead and create that table, and I can then insert into that table the date and the identity have default values, so we'll have the today's date and the identity stored in there. But then I'm just storing this XML fragment here. For each item, I'm putting in an item element. And if I go ahead and do that and insert that into the table, and then go ahead and select from the table, and sure enough, you can see that I can mix and match in my table some relational data. I've got the order ID and the date, but I've also got the order items, and that's an XML fragment. And you'll see actually in the XML editor, when I open it out, there's a little warning line there underneath item to say XML documents cannot contain multiple root level elements. And that's true, but this isn't a document. It's not well formed. It's a fragment. And that's perfectly acceptable to store in the XML data type.
So to work deeper with this, we're going to need to know something about XQuery.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're storing data in tables or in variables in the XML data type. But if I then want to, you know, query the contents of the XML itself, rather than just bring back the entire XML value, then I'm going to want to use XQuery to do that. So let's take a look at XQuery as a syntax for doing that. So it's the query syntax for XML. It's based on something called XPath, which is an older standard for navigating through these documents. And let's take a look at an example of how that works. So I've got an XML document here. We've seen this one before, possibly. It's an order with an ID and a date and a salesperson, a customer, and some items. And the way that we navigate through that is to treat it as a tree with this order at the root, and the order contains the ID and the date and the salesperson, which contains the ID and the name, and so on. So we've got this notion of a document compared to a tree. And what XQuery lets me do is specify a way of navigating through that tree to find particular items. So this expression here, slash order, slash salesperson, slash name, is a way of saying, well, start at the root, that's the slash order, and then go down to slash salesperson, and then go and find underneath the name. So I'm navigating the elements, in this case, the order, then the salesperson, then the name, to find that. That's, as I said, it's based on this older standard called XPath, which was a way of describing a path through the document, as you can imagine. So that first one we're finding from the order to the salesperson name. Let's look at some more perhaps complex examples and see some of those. So we've got this notion here of finding the ID of the customer. And what I'm doing is, again, starting at the root to the order, then going to the customer. And then you'll notice I've got an at symbol, and the at symbol says, well, what I'm looking for now is not an element, it's an attribute. So we go from order to customer, find the attribute called ID, and that's the thing that I'm finding there. So I'm navigating through the path, just like I did before, but this time I'm using the at symbol to specify that I want to find an attribute. Here's another one. We've got this notion of descendants. So we're starting at the order, we're always starting at the root of the order. But you notice I've got a double slash in here. And what I'm saying is, well, I'm not going to give you the complete path. I want you to find everything underneath order that is called name. All of the name elements, regardless of where in the hierarchy they are, as long as they're a descendant from order, I want you to find them. So this finds name for salesperson and also name for customer. And if there are any other name elements further down, it would find those as well. And then there's the idea of finding a specific instance. If I've got elements, I could have multiple elements, repeated. So in this case, we've got items, and it contains one or more item elements. Well, what if I want to find the first item? And the way that I do that is I specify in these square brackets the ordinal position of the element. Remember, I can specify ordinal positions of elements, but not attributes. So I can specify that I want to find the first item element underneath items, underneath order. And it finds that particular thing. And then finally, what I might want to do is apply some criteria. So in this case, I'm finding the quantity attribute, or rather, I'm finding the item element where the quantity attribute is greater than one. So in other words, in plain English, find me all the items where I sold, you know, more than one item. But I describe the path as start at the root with the order, then items, and then bring me back the item, and in the square brackets, I'm saying, but only where the quantity is greater than one. That makes sense?
It does.
Excellent. So let's look at a slightly more complex syntax then. We've looked at basic XPath expressions to navigate through the document. There is a more interesting attribute of using XQuery, and that's something called flower queries, which sounds very poetic. Let's have a look at what flower queries are. It's actually FLWOR, and it stands for for, let, where, order, by, and return. And these are the key phrases, or I guess they're the equivalent to clauses in a select statement, where we're in a transit SQL select statement, where we're trying to describe what it is that we want to get back. Now, you'll notice that let is in brackets here, and that's because in the implementation that's supported by the Transact SQL database engine, let isn't supported. It's not something we actually need to assign a value to do an iterating loop or whatever. So we don't really use let, but we do support for, where, order by, and return. So let's see how that might work. Here's an example. Again, we got our order document here on the left. And what I'm doing is I'm saying for, and I've got this variable here called I. So I'm basically for each one of these things. So for I in order items item, and what that first line, that for line, is saying is, well, look, for each item underneath items. So that's these guys here. So for each I in that list, where the I's quantity attribute has a value of greater than one. So where the quantity is greater than one, order them by the ID. So here's the ID, and return them. So effectively what this query is doing is saying, hey, go and get all of the item elements underneath items in the order where the quantity is greater than one and return them in order of ID. So what we end up with is this result here. We get all of the ones where the quantity is greater than one, so we don't get this item ID 561, and we get them returned in order of ID. So 127 is less than 268, so it comes back. So it's a more sophisticated syntax, but it lets me be much more expressive about how I'm getting the XML back from that from within that XML, that larger XML document.
So let's take a look at some of the methods you can use to get some of the details out of the XML.
Okay, so let's look at querying the XML data type, as Pete said, and look at some of those methods that we can use. The XML data type exposes a number of methods that we can use. And the word method might be confusing. If you're not a developer, you may not have come across this before. But a method is a programmatic function that I can call against the data type. So there are a number of these functions, these methods that I can call. And they support XQuery expressions that let me query the contents of the data type. So the first one of these is a thing called query. And what I do is I pass an XQuery expression to the query method, and that will return one or more XML nodes. So it could be a fully formed document, or it could be fragments that it returns, but it returns XML, effectively elements that might contain attributes and values and child elements. I've also got this notion of value, which lets me specify an XQuery expression and a data type, and it will return a single scalar value. So whereas query, the first one of these, might return all of the item elements in my order, the value method might return the quantity of the second item. It returns a single scalar value. There's also one called exist, which, as its name implies, just lets me check to see whether a particular node or a particular result of an XQuery expression does in fact exist in the document. So I could, for example, find out, does this order contain any items? And if I have orders that have no item elements, it would return zero if I give it the XQuery expression to say, find me an item. And I would be able to tell, well, this order doesn't have items, or this order does have items. And there is another one which is slightly more esoteric, and we'll return to this one later in the course. But there's a nodes method which returns effectively a table, a row set, of XML nodes for each value that it finds. So it lets me query some XML, and I could return all of the items as a table. A table of in each row in the table would be the XML item element, for example. So there are some cases where that's a useful thing to do, and we'll see some examples of that a bit later on. It's usually used with the cross-apply statement in a transact SQL statement, where you're trying to iterate through all of the rows in one data set and bring back a matching table of data from another data set. But the ones that we use most commonly are query, value, and exist.
So let's take a look at the demo.
Okay, so let's do that. We're in our XML, our SQL Server Management Studio environment here, and I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to create a table called sales order. I'm going to drop it if it already exists, just in case, and then I'm going to create it, and it's going to have an order ID, it's going to have an order date, and it's going to have order items, which is an XML column. So let's go ahead and do that. And I'm going to insert some values into it. So the values I'm going to insert into this, I'm going to insert just a number of different orders. There's, you can see I've got the comma in here, so I'm inserting 1, 2, 3 orders into there. I don't have to specify the ID and the date because they've got default values, so they'll be generated for me. So let's go and insert those values into the, it's getting a little over-enthusiastic. Let's just insert that into there. And then we'll verify what we've got. And you can see what I've got is a table that you might find in a database with an order ID, an order date, and I've got my order items for each of these orders. And if I click on any one of those, I can see the items for that particular order. And the items includes a count attribute, and then the items are listed out in as child elements of that items element with the ID and the quantity. Okay, so let's look at using some of these. I'll just clear this window here so that we can see a bit more clearly. Let's look at using some of these methods that we talked about previously. So I'm going to start with a query method, and that returns XML data, remember, it returns XML nodes. So this is a fairly simple one. I'm going to bring back the order ID, the order date, and from the order items column, I want to query that and bring back the items item node. So it should bring back that item element and all the data in that. So let's try that out and see what that brings back. And sure enough, it brings back each of the item elements. So I get a fragment back from that that original XML. That makes sense?
It does.
Okay. So what if I want to bring back all of the items? In this case, I explicitly said the path items item. Well, I could equally just, in this case, because I know there aren't any other items anywhere else in the hierarchy, I could shortcut that to this and just say, bring me back anything in this XML, regardless of where in the hierarchy it is, that's called item. And it actually brings back exactly the same results. And this time, order two only has one item, so I can see it there. Let's just close that as well and keep track of some of these windows that we've got open. So that's all fairly straightforward. I'm effectively bringing back, you know, subcomponents of the XML, you know, extracts or excerpts of the XML in the stored in the column, and I'm bringing that back as XML using the query method. What if I want to bring back some XML that isn't actually in that document? Perhaps I want to literally add some elements or add some tags or something, and I can do that as well. So let's take a look at that. And in this case, I'm bringing back the order ID, the order date. I'm using the query method, but I'm explicitly saying, hey, look, I want to create an element called products. And inside that products element, I want to put the results of this XPath expression, so items item, and then I want to close that out with products. So remember that in the original XML that's stored in the database, we've got items, and in each item, so there's items, and in item one and item two. Down here, what I'm saying is I want to bring back those item elements, but I want to enclose them in an element called products. Let's do that. And sure enough, it does that. So it takes the literal value that I told it to do, give me a product, and then it went and found each of the item elements based on the XPath expression I gave it and enclosed them within products. So I'm starting to get the ability to do more sophisticated querying and bring back custom XML that my application might be expecting. So it might be stored as items, but I might, for whatever reason, want to bring them back as products and display them differently in a web page or whatever it is that I'm going to do with them. Okay, well, up till now we've just looked at working with elements. Let's look at attributes. And you can see here what I've got here is a query that says, bring back the order ID, the order date, use the query method to bring back a literal value called line items with an item count attribute. And the value that I want you to put there is the value of the count attribute of the items element. Again, let's just go back to our original source XML. We've got items and a count. So the first order has two, the second one has one, the third one has two. So if I run that, sure enough, it brings back what I've asked for, line items, an item count, and then the value that's assigned to that attribute is actually the attribute that's originally assigned to the count attribute. So we're really just swapping one attribute name for another in this case, but you can see how that works. And again, just that at symbol is used to indicate that it's an attribute. So what if I want to bring back attributes from multiple elements? So each of my items has an ID attribute. What if I want to bring back that? I want to bring back, in this case, product and an ID, and then bring back the attribute element from all of the items. Now that might seem a bit strange because I've got one product element, but I might have multiple items and I'm literally just bringing back the ID. So let's see what it does and see if we can explain that. It doesn't give me an error. It does exactly what I'm asking it to do. But what I get is something slightly strange. I get back the, in this case, the ID of the first item. And because there are two items in this order, I get the ID of the second item as well. So it will do what I'm asking it to do, but you sometimes just have to be a bit careful where you have multiple elements with the same name. It's going to, that XPath expression there brings back the ID value for every item element that it finds under items. So it's in this case, just going to add them all together and delimit them with spaces. So what I might really be interested in is not bring me back all of the IDs for, you know, in a single attribute. Bring me back a specific ID within that list. So it might be, you know, bring me back the ID of the first product that's in there, the first item. And that's what this next example does. So it's similar code to before. It's the product, ID equals, and then I've got my expression here. But this time I've specified, like, don't bring me back all of the IDs. Just bring me back the one from the first child element that you find. So if I run that, then it does exactly that. It brings back the first product, or the first item, but it doesn't go and get the rest. It's using that ordinal position there to determine which one it brings back. Okay, well, we've seen a number of ways of navigating through the tree and getting data out and enclosing it in XML. One other thing that we might want to look at with the query method is, what if I've got a table that contains columns with data, but also some XML, and I want to mix and match values from the columns with values in the XML. So let's take a look at how we do that. And in this case, what I want to do is I want to bring back an XML document that represents the order, including the order ID. And if you remember in the original table, the order ID is stored just as a regular number in a regular column, and the items are stored as XML. What I want to do is I want to bring back an order XML element with an order ID attribute, and the value I want to put there is whatever the value in the corresponding order ID column is. So it's going to go and find for the first order, that should be order ID 1, and the second one order ID 2. So I'm binding the value that I want to bring back in my XML to a value that's actually in the relational database. And I'm also bringing back item count in this case, and the count of items. So in this case, it's just simply the count attribute from the items. So let's run that and see what we get. And you can see it's done what we asked it to do. It's brought back an order element with the order ID, which is the value in the relational column, and the item count, which was the count attribute in the items. So I'm able to generate different XML from the XML that's there, and I'm even able to include values that are in the relational columns as well as in the XML. And as well as that SQL column, there's a SQL variable option as well. So if I had a value in a variable, a regular transact SQL variable, I can embed that into the XML that I'm bringing back. Moving on, let's look at something else. Let's look at a more complex query that uses that flower syntax that we saw earlier on. let's take a look at this one here. And I'm bringing back the order ID. I'm running a query. And that query includes this xQuery expression here. So for each I in items item, in other words, for each item element, where the quantity is greater than one, so where the quantity attribute has a value greater than one, ordered by the ID attributes, return the items. So just to remind ourselves what's in the table, if I have a look at the original source table, here's the first example. We've got items with a count, and then we've got each item listed out. And the items have an ID, which aren't in any particular order, and a quantity. And what I'm telling it to do is to bring back each of the item elements for each row, bring back each of the item elements if the item quantity is greater is one, so where I've only ordered one, order it by ID, and return that. So let's have a look. And sure enough, it does that. So if we look at the third order, for example, there are two items where we ordered only one, and they were items 167 and 561, and it's brought those back in the right order as well. So I'm able to use that flower expression there to heavily customize the way that the XML gets returned. So all of these queries so far have used the query method of the XML data type. And remember, the XML query data type returns XML values, XML nodes. So you might remember when we spoke earlier on about this, I mentioned that we can use other methods to bring back actual scalar values. Yeah, and that sometimes might be what I want. I might not want to return XML. I might want to return the values that are in the XML. So let's look at using the value method. And in this case, I'm going to bring back the order ID, the order date, and the value of the first instance of items. Now, there is only one instance of items, but because I need to be explicit, I'm saying, look, find the first items element in here and get the count attribute and return that as an integer. So I have to specify the data type when I specify value. But go and find the first items element. It has a count attribute. I want you to return that as an integer. And that will come back as a regular relational column. So if I run that, it brings back the item count, which is pretty much what I would expect it to do. We also talked a little bit about the exist method. And that lets me check to make sure that a node exists or doesn't exist. It returns a 1 if it does and a 0 if it doesn't. So in this case, I'm saying bring back all of the orders where there exists an items item. So just in case I might have orders in there that didn't have any items, it would be a weird thing to have, but I can use that to say bring that back. And if I actually change that to say a 0, bring me back any that don't have items. This will bring back an empty result set because there aren't any that don't have items. Okay, so what if I want to check for the existence of an item that has a particular value? So bring me back all of the orders where there exists an items with a count of greater than one. So actually what I'm doing here is bringing back all the orders where there is more than one item. And sure enough, when I run that, the first and third orders have an item with a count of greater than one, so it brings back those. And then I might want to say, well, bring me back all of the orders where there exists an item with the ID 561. So bring me back all of the orders where this particular product has been ordered. And sure enough, it brings back 1 and 3, which both include item 561. So that exist keyword there, exist method, is useful when I want to filter the results. And I guess that kind of emphasizes one of the complexities that you have to deal with when working with XQuery. You're really doing a query within a query. There's a transact SQL query on the outside where I'm querying the table, and then within that, I'm using one of these methods of the XML data type to run an XQuery expression. So I'm filtering based on the results of the XQuery expression to determine what's in the results of the transact SQL expression that come out. And sometimes that can take a little bit of time to kind of figure out in your head. Just want to complete the demo with a few other examples. I mentioned this nodes method earlier on. And what nodes does is it brings back a row set for each of the XML items that you tell it to find. So in this case, I've got this cross-apply statement here. What cross-apply does is merge a row set for each row that the first query returns. So this query here returns the order ID, the ID, and the quantity for each of my items. But I'm going to have multiple items in an order. So there's a row set of items, and I'm cross-applying to get that. So what I should end up with is a table that has order IDs, and any order that has multiple items, the order will appear multiple times. There'll be multiple rows, but I'll get the information about the, I'll actually get the item XML, items item, appearing there. So let's run that. And let's just spend a minute working through what it's done, because this can be a little bit confusing. It said, bring me back the order ID. Well, fair enough, that's the order ID is there as one. Bring me back items table, item XML value. Well, okay, well, clearly item XML is an XML data type because I'm using the value method. And I'm telling it to bring back the ID as type integer. And similarly, I'm telling it to bring back the quantity as type integer. So that's clearly what's coming out here. Where is it getting them from? Well, it's getting them from this thing here, items table, item XML. So that cross apply is going through, and for each order, it's bringing back a row set that contains all of the items for that order based on the XML. And from that row set, from that XML, I'm then going and getting the ID and the quantity, which is what's appearing here. So it might take a little time to kind of work that through in your head, but what we're doing with nodes is saying, well, for each of these, this set of XML nodes, I want to return those as a table, and then I might cross-apply that in a query, or use it in an inner query is another way that you could do a subquery, and get the data out of that XML that gets returned. And finally, we talked earlier on about namespaces. So let's take a look at that. You can see I've got this notion of a namespace to identify which bits of this are related specifically to an order, which bits to a salesperson, which bits to a customer. So I've got the abbreviations for the namespaces in here, C for customer, S for salesperson. And I'm creating an XML variable and assigning that value to it that includes these namespaces. And if I want to query that using just regular XQuery, there's two ways I can do it. One is, in the query method itself, I can declare the namespaces. And I'm declaring namespaces called ord and SLS that relate to this unique identifier. Now notice, first thing to notice, I don't have to use the same abbreviations that were in the source XML. Remember that the XML data type stores the XML as an internal node tree. The abbreviations, the aliases that I'm using for these namespaces are kind of arbitrary at the time of writing them and at the time of reading them. What's important is this unique identifier that you can see here. So as long as that matches, when I store the data in the variable, I can use O, and when I bring it back, I can use ORD. It doesn't matter because both of them actually are just shorthand for saying this. So I can declare the namespaces, and then I can use those abbreviations that I've declared in my XQuery expression. So in this case, it's saying for the order, which belongs to this namespace, there's a salesperson, which belongs to this namespace, and I want to bring back the ID, which again belongs to that namespace. So that should bring back, well, there's the order, there's the salesperson, there's the ID. And that's fine if I'm only using one query. So if I've got a query that's hitting a table or a variable in this case, and I'm only using one XQuery expression, then declaring the namespaces in the method itself is an efficient way to do it. That kind of works. But there's an alternative syntax. Let's look at the alternative. And what I'm doing here is saying, well, yeah, but I'm not doing just one XQuery. I'm actually going to use three different X.value methods. And I don't want to have to declare the namespace in every single one of those. So I can declare the namespaces up front with this with XML namespaces syntax. And again, just assign whatever prefixes I want to use. And then once I've done that, I can then reuse them again and again in a query method or a value method or an exist method or whatever I want to run. So let's run all of that and see what that produces. We'll just select it all. And so there's two queries. The first one is here. I've declared the namespaces in line in the query, and I've returned an employee element with the ID based on the order salesperson's ID, which is there. And in the second one, I declared the namespaces up front, and then I've got the value of the first order's order ID, the first order's first salesperson's ID as the employee, and the first order's first customer ID is there. And each of those is in a different namespace, but I declared the namespaces up front.
Now let's take a look at modifying data that's been stored using the XML data type.
Okay, so if I've got data that's stored using an XML data type, so I've got a column and a table of type XML, we've seen that you can store the data in there and you can query it and you can use XQuery to bring back sub-elements of it or bring back values from it or all sorts of things. But what if I want to update it? What if I want to modify it? So there's a couple of things to consider here. One of the ways I might modify is I might want to insert an element. So for example, I may have my orders. I've got lots of order or lots of item elements in there, and I might want to add an item to an order. And the way that I would do that is I would insert an item attribute, or an item element rather. I might also want to replace an existing element or attribute. So I might have my items has a count attribute, and if I add an item, I want to replace the original count with the updated count to tell me how many new items are in the order. And then, of course, I might want to delete a value that's in there. So I've got these three operations that I can do. I can insert an element or attribute, I can replace an element or attribute, or I can delete an element or attribute. Now, a little note on the slide just to be aware, it makes sense once you start doing this, but it might initially be confusing. Remember that your XQuery methods that you're calling are usually within the context of a kind of outer transact SQL statement. So you might instinctively think, well, I want to delete an element. I'm going to use a delete statement. Well, you don't, because what you're doing is updating an existing row in the table and then deleting the XML within that row. So it's always an update statement, typically, that you would use. But then within that update statement, you're either going to replace, insert, or delete the XML. So just be aware, all of these will be update statements, regardless of whether I'm inserting, deleting, or replacing XML values.
Let's take a look at a demo now about how to use this.
So I'm in SQL Server Management Studio, and again, I've got my table of data that I want to work with. In this case, I've got a sales order table, which has an order items column in it, which is of type XML. And I want to start modifying the data that's in there. So let's just remind ourselves of what's in that table. And I'll just go and do that. That's not the right one. It's this one. So here's the data that's in that table. I've got, for each order, there's an items element, which has the count of items. And then for each item, there's an item element with the ID and the quantity. So what I might want to do is I might want to take one of these orders and I might want to add an item to it. And the way that I do that is I go ahead and I use this modify method and I specify in my XQuery expression that I want to insert, in this case, item, ID, some insert, literally inserting this XML as the last element into this location, so into items one. So there's an items element, there is only one, so it's the first one. And I'm going to insert an item ID. So where we currently have this one here, I've got 561 and 127. I am going to insert ID number 100, three of, or order ID equals three actually. So it's this one here. So we've currently got 561 and 167, one of each. And I'm going to insert a third item into that. So go ahead and do that. And if I bring back the details for where order equals three, sure enough, it's gone ahead and inserted that item into there. So it's just literally added that XML into that location in the XML document. We'll come back to the issue of the count a bit later on. And that's fine if I want to insert some literal XML, but what if I want to insert some value from elsewhere? So in this case, I want to insert an element into my order items, and the element I'm going to insert is going to be called order. So there's the name of the element. And the value that I want to put into that element is the order ID from the table itself. So where I've currently got order ID 3, what I want to do is in my items, this is items 1, in that items element, I want to insert a child element called order with the order ID from the table. Let's try that. And again, notice it's an update. Even though I'm inserting, it's an update statement. And what I get now is for each of these orders, this slightly weird XML, I've got items, and then there's an order element that specifies the order ID, and then the items come as a list after that. So if for whatever reason my client application needed that particular structure, I can do that. So what if I want to insert an attribute? I've inserted an order there, or inserted an element. What if I want to insert an attribute? And in this case, what I want to do is insert an attribute called last updated into my items element. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to insert the value of this variable called now. And that variable's here. I'm declaring a transact SQL variable called now and just giving it the current date and time. So I'm creating a last updated attribute that has the current date and time from this variable. Let's go ahead and do that. And if I go and have a look at what's in my table now, I can actually see that it's gone ahead and done that. It's got in my items, it's put a last updated attribute with the current date and time, which might be a useful thing to do. It's quite a common thing to do, is to track updates to rows. And in this case, I can track updates to XML. Okay, well, we've inserted a bunch of stuff. What if I want to do some updates to that? What if I want to make some changes? We saw earlier on that I inserted an item, but I didn't automatically update the count of items. So how might I address that? Let's take a look. So in my sales order here, I'm updating the table, I'm modifying my order items XML, and I'm replacing the value of count with a particular value. So I'm replacing the item of count with the value 4 in this case. So fairly straightforward syntax, replace value of, and then the xQuery expression to where I want to get to. It's the first item's count attribute, and replace that with the value 4, where the order is 3. So at the moment, here's order 3, the count is 2. If I go ahead and do that, and then go and take a look at the table again, sure enough, it's updated that to be 4. Well, that's great, except that there aren't actually 4 items. There's this weird order thing, but there's only 3 items, so count isn't actually correct. So what I might want to do is to use a slightly more sophisticated approach, and I'm going to use a function. And one of the great things about xQuery is it's a fairly sophisticated language. It supports things like functions that you might expect in something like Transact SQL or C# or whatever. Same idea. In this instance, we're using the count function. So I'm counting the number of, in the first items element, item elements, and returning that as an int. So I'm using value to go ahead and get a hold of how many items actually are there in this order, in this case order number 3. I'll print that out just so that we can see how many items it finds. And then I'm updating the sales order, and I'm replacing the value of the items count with the actual value of that variable that I've determined. So I'm able to both query the XML, and then based on the results of querying that XML using that function, I'm able to update the XML with the value that I find. So let's go ahead and do that. Just select all of that code. So there's the 3 that it counted. It counted 3 items, and then it's updated 1 row. And that 1 row that it's updated is here, which now has the correct number of items. So we've got a count of 3, and we've got 3 items. So finally, the final thing I might want to do, we've got in this this XML document, I've still got this weird order thing here, which, to be honest, doesn't really belong there. I don't really want that there. So I want to delete that. And the way that I do that is I use the delete parameter to the modify method, and I just give it the path of the thing I want to delete. And that could include criteria, so I could see, you know, delete all the items where the product ID is 561 or something like that. So I could add criteria to make that more sophisticated. But in this case, I'm just simply deleting the order element, which is underneath the items element. Let's go ahead and do that. And that updates all three rows in the table. And sure enough, now when I look at the results, I'm back to having items with a count. I've got my last updated that I inserted, and then I've got my different items in there.
So let's review the things we've covered in the module.
Sure. So we talked about the XML data type, and that's a native data type in SQL Server that can be used to store XML. And that can be used either as a column data type or a variable or a parameter for a stored procedure. We talked about XQuery, which is a language for querying XML. And that's it's based on XPath. It describes a path through the document, through that hierarchy, and enables us to filter out and find things within the XML. And then we talked about the methods that are available on the XML data type in SQL Server to use XQuery expressions to query the data and get results out of those columns or variables. And we were able to get the value of an XML. We were able to use the query method to bring back XML nodes, value to bring back scalar values, exist to check the existence of a particular XML path, and nodes, which brought back a row set of XML that I could use in a cross-apply or a subquery. And then we talked about modifying XML using the modify method. And with the modify method, I can pass expressions that insert, replace, or delete bits of the XML that are in the XML data type that I'm working with. So lots of useful things there that we can do with XML. Hopefully you've found this module useful, and you can start working now with the XML data type in Azure SQL Database or SQL Server.